time for our weekly segment with Grayson Grundhaver of Sikkim365.com.
All right, we're live at Panther Stadium, Midway ISD. Tonight they host Killeen, start of District 12, 6A, one of five high school games we have tonight around the various radio stations that we have on among M&M broadcasters. To 4 o'clock, Mike Fisher on the Cowboys. Lee Sterling on Vegas and what they think of some NFL and college games this weekend. We'll still hear later on in the show from Brian Bell, head coach at China Spring at 4:40, and upstart program at Eagle Christian Academy. We'll have Bryce Frazier on later on today at around 5:30. But Grayson Grundhaver, Sikkim365.com, he and Craig do a podcast Thursday night that runs a long time, and then they post it up on the website. He also feeds the site quite a bit. Grayson, it's a bye week. I've seen kind of Colt kind of look at some of these national rankings of, you know, whoever. I saw that, like, Sagarin had Baylor number 10. That's not possible. Do you really know who they are after 2-0 against the teams they played?
You know, I don't think that you really know who they are just because you're not seeing them compared to some of the better teams that they're obviously going to face on their schedule. But, you know, there is something to be said for the way that you're dominating teams. And I think, you know, we saw this in the past with Baylor in 2013 and 2014, where they just steamrolled the first two opponents. And then, you know, that kind of carried the momentum throughout the season as well. And Baylor hasn't gotten off to a start like that since those two seasons until this, you know, this start that they're having right now. So I do think there is something to be said with the way that they're handling business and the way that these games haven't been closed after halftime. So, you know, I'm not going to say they're a top 10 team by any stretch of the imagination, but when you go around and you look at the country and you see, you know, a lot of teams struggling with FCS opponents like Iowa State did, you know, a few other teams have as well, but Baylor hasn't done that. And so it's been impressive to say the least. But, yeah, I would pump the brakes on top 10 ranking until they play someone of note.
Isn't it more that they've just done exactly what they were supposed to do, and this was not what they were doing just a year ago? They were, even the games they put some distance, it was, you know, a little bit in question for a little while.
I mean, this isn't what they've been doing since 2015, to be honest with you. You know, that year they, you know, struggled a little bit with Lamar and struggled a little bit with SMU to start the year that season. So, I mean, it's been a while since they've had this much dominance. And so, yeah, I mean, it is more of them handling their business. But, I you know, you have to give props to the fact that at halftime these games have been over. I mean, just completely over. And, you know, you don't want to say the other team just completely gave up hope, but that's what it feels like after halftime that, you know, these games were just, you know, pretty much done.
All right, you and Craig Smoke, who handles Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q and also with Steven, you guys record a podcast every week, and sometimes I think it could just go right into the next week. It's very lengthy and very thorough, and I know you guys love doing it. What were the top two or three things that you were asked about this week? What were the top two or three things of interest with your questions or comments this week?
You know, a lot of the questions I felt like had a lot to do with sustainability and talking about kind of can Baylor keep this going throughout the season and into conference play. And I think that's kind of what everyone is questioning right now. Is this really who Baylor is, or is it just a function of who they're playing against? And I would say that is kind of the prominent theme right now during this bye week, is there's a lot of excitement around this program and the way that they've been dominating teams. Is this who, you know, the Baylor program, what the Baylor program has become, and is it sustainable? I think that's kind of the main topic of focus during this bye week right now.
All right. Anybody in particular made some plays that you didn't think would make plays, even if it was SFA or UT San Antonio?
You know, I think that you go through the roster a little bit and you start looking at some of the guys that have really jumped off the field if you're kind of watching Baylor play. And I think, you know, a couple of those guys, Tristan Ebner has been even better than I thought he would be to start this season. I mean, we saw flashes last year and even the year before, but, I mean, he is taking every touch you know, and he's just getting big yardage, it feels like, every time he touches the football. And so he's been a nice surprise just because of his efficiency. It hasn't been a whole lot of volume. It's just been every time he touches the ball, he's getting, you know, it feels like 20 yards every time he touches it. You know, R.J. Snead had the 2 touchdowns in the first game. He was second on the team in receptions against UTSA, so he continues to be a nice bright spot on the offensive side. And, of course, I think you got to point to Blake Bettier and Princeton Pines up front for the Bears also as a surprise. I mean, this team is averaging over 8.5 yards per carry in the early going of this season, averaged 9.5 against UTSA. And, I mean, those two guys have done a great job. And to see them elevate their games from game one to game two was really impressive. And if they can get performances like that, they're going to be really tough to stop on the offensive side. And so those are a few of the guys that I think I'm looking at right now, particularly on the offensive side. The defensive side has pretty much been the guys that you really think about have made the big impact. Clay Johnston, James Lynch, they've been great. If I were to point out one guy that to me has played really well that maybe doesn't get a lot of recognition, that would be Chidi Obanaya. I think he's really played extremely well on that defensive front, and he kind of gives them some depth up there if, you know, Bravion Roy needs to come out. He's done a really nice job.
What about Chris Miller? You know, he was a guy who looked lost at times over the last couple of years when he played, but now it looks like this is the perfect defense for him, and he's confident enough to just go out and just make plays.
Right, and, you know, I would have said Chris, but the thing with Chris is he's a senior. I mean, this is it. I think the expectation is that he takes a big jump, and he's definitely shown it, though. I will say that. He is definitely flying to the football. He looks much more comfortable, like you said, in this new defensive scheme. It just kind of allows him to play a little more free and loose. Guys aren't running open as often, and, you know, I'm definitely buying the fact that he's played really, really well these first two games, but I also want to see it when Big 12 play comes around and teams start airing it out more and start challenging him more in his pass coverage to see if he's able to continue that trend. And that kind of goes with the whole secondary in general, to be honest, because they've been so good the first two games. I'm curious if they can kind of keep that momentum going in Big 12 play.
In your opinion, Grayson, and I might ask this question later in the show, put it up on Twitter as well, you have transformations that have been, in some cases, over a year or two or three. Graylin Arnold runs back a punt. We know that just maybe a year or two ago he was redshirted, but also wasn't, I don't think, you know, when the Matt Rhule transitioned, there were a lot of players that were like, who the hell is this guy? And a lot of them didn't buy into it, and then some of them stayed, some of them didn't, including Taylor Young, remember, who was one that was no question he was leaving, and he ended up, he's now on the coaching staff. Blake Lynch, with what he's done. Let me see. You mentioned Chris Miller, who used to have, not trying to be cruel, but it's as if he didn't really know what angles to take, and when he got there, didn't have much what to do with it, even though he gets there sometimes in a hurry. He has now become someone that's making plays as well. I got to include Denzel Mims. He's made plays in his career, but he's playing now through some aches and pains. He's making big plays. He's now become also a single digit. In fact, I think everyone I mentioned might be a single digit. Which of those players I just mentioned have had the biggest transformation in your opinion?
You know, for that, so I do want to, I'm going to add one more name in there. He won't be my answer, but I have to add him in there because he's taken just a massive jump that everyone was waiting for, and that's Bravion Roy.
Yeah.
I know he's not single digit. I know he doesn't maybe get the recognition, but you watch him play, and he is a completely different player than he was a year ago, and especially 2 years ago. Obviously, he didn't get his opportunity to redshirt, but I think this is his year, and you're seeing it. He's really taken his game to another level. I just wanted to mention him because he's done a great job. But I think for me, the answer has to be Graylin Arnold. And the reason is just because, you know, it wasn't always about what was on the field with Graylin. I know he had some bad moments at times, and he had some very good moments. But the fact of the matter is, he wasn't a guy that I felt like we heard a lot about as far as being a locker room guy or being a guy that was a leader or being a guy that kind of took command of the defense. And I think we're starting to hear that now. You know, you heard J.T. Woods this week talking about how Graylin is like a big brother to him. And the way that he's a leader, it kind of almost pushes the whole group to another level. And I think that aspect of his game has not only translated to the team, but I think it's translated to his role on the football field. And I think it's made him a much better player and a leader on this team. So for me, it is definitely Graylin Arnold. I haven't seen a guy go from zero mention to the way he's mentioned in literally over a year's time. It's been really impressive.
Paul, anything else?
I'm good.
All right. Hey, Grayson, enjoy the weekend. Thank you, sir. Grayson Grundhafer, he's part of Sikkim 365.